Hi, and welcome to That's My Purse Pod, the podcast all about King of the Hill. I'm Jason.
And I'm Jimmy.
So it's August. It's like second week of August, I guess. You know, I guess it's going to be the end of movie season, if you will, the big summer blockbusters, and maybe we'll go into like Oscar season towards the end of the year and stuff and get a lot of those art house films, but you know, not a lot of stuff to get excited about right now. But you know, are there any movies that are exciting you between now and, you know, next summer when the next, well, yeah, when the next big films come out? I mean, I know we have some Marvel films like Ant-Man, Quantumania coming out in February, and then of course Black Panther, Wakanda Forever coming out in November, but besides the Marvel fare, anything interesting you?
Okay, well, you know, like we talked about before, Winnie the Pooh horror movie I'm down for. There is this horror movie coming out. I've seen a preview for it. Pete Davidson's in it. I can't remember the name of it. It's like a whole bunch of like influencer people in it. A Pete Davidson movie. Let's see.
Yeah, I legit have no idea. Like, I have not heard of that movie. I have not seen any trailer. So you're asking the wrong person.
It's called Bodies, Bodies, Bodies.
Okay.
And it looks like an SNL skit. So
okay, I'll buy that.
Oh, I think A24 is making it. So
okay, if A24 is making it, then it might actually be decent.
I mean, the trailer looks like hilarious. Yeah, A24 is making it. A24's got the rep though. Like, they make some really good scary movies.
A good portion of the films that they've made have been home runs, and like not just films but also TV shows. Like, they made Rami, Rami, which was on Hulu, which was really popular. Obviously, most recently, they did Everything, Everywhere, All at Once, which I thought was like one of the best movies I have seen in a long, long time.
Okay, thank you. I've made two people watch this movie, and the reaction from them has been like, that was weird. But I don't know. I feel like maybe sometimes I'm like, look. Do you, like, I feel like I'm looking more into it. I don't know. Or, I don't know. I just feel like it was such a great movie. I hope people remember it for award season. Give it a watch, even if you think it's weird. I don't care if at the end, after you watch it, you're like, I don't understand it. I think it just deserves to be watched. It's such a great movie.
I 100% agree. It is, like, it starts off very mundane, so I wouldn't say it's hard to get into, but you're like, okay, what's going to happen? And then, like, if you see the previews, it's like, oh, it's supposed to be about multiverse and whatnot. But it starts in just the most mundane way. So you're like, when does the multiverse stuff start? Like, it's a hard way to make that connection between like things now and where they're going to be. And then all of a sudden, it just does a huge 180 and goes just off the wall crazy. And you need to lean into the ridiculousness. And then when it gets to the end, like the third act, it gets incredibly good. Like, heartwarming and all that stuff. So, like, if you stick with it, it is a really good movie.
Yeah, I just feel like, don't let the multiverse stuff distract you. Like, it's like they have a really great story and a really great kind of message they're trying to send you, and then they package it in this way, like this entertaining way. Sometimes people get distracted by like all the action that's happening and everything that's going on, that you kind of miss the message about family in there. And I mean, like, not to say my eyes weren't watering at like the end would be an understatement. Like, that movie's so great. I watched it in theaters, and I've seen it a couple times on Blu-ray. So definitely worth the watch. You know, I hope she gets nominated for an Academy Award, Michelle Yeoh. Mm-hmm. She, like, deserves it. I don't know. there aren't too many actresses that can do like action and do like great drama work, and she's definitely one of them.
Yep. And I'm looking at like a lot of the stuff that they've made, and a lot of them have had Oscar nods, like A21. So we're looking at like Lady Bird, and we're looking at what is it? We're looking at not the Green Room. So that was a good movie. The Lobster was a good movie. I don't think that was Oscar worthy though. There was Moonlight, which I think even won, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, it won Best Picture. I might be
forgetting. Yeah. Oh yeah, because that was the one where they said like La La Land, and they kind of did a Steve Harvey and had to do a make good and be like, oh no, we didn't mean that. It was actually, yeah. Lady Bird, Hereditary, which like a lot of people have like gone on and on and on about how that's like reinvented or revitalized the horror genre. Midsommar, which a lot of people loved. The Farewell. I don't know if you saw that, but I think that's like. That was like the movie where I realized Awkwafina could be an actual good actress. And she did win, I'm trying to remember, was it the People's Choice? Not People's Choice, so it's a Golden Globe. I can't remember. One of those she won, and she was the first Asian woman actress to win the award, like in history. And so, you know, that was a big deal. Yes, Golden Globe. She best actress in a musical or a comedy. Awkwafina won that, and so I was just like, okay, yeah. After I saw that one, I was like, yeah, I absolutely think she deserved that, and she is a good actress. Of course, Minari was a very popular one. I think like at first when you described a Pete Davidson horror movie, I was like, oh, okay, it's gonna suck. But then when you're like A24, I'm like, okay, you know what? It might actually be good.
I'm thinking, I don't know what I'm thinking about. The trailer's really weird. It just looks stupid. But I'm intrigued by it. It feels like it's like a house full of these girls and some guys. And they're like, it just feels like YouTube influencers or Instagram influencers are on this house together. And they play this game, but then someone starts murdering them. So I don't know what to expect. I feel like maybe this could be another, like, you know, there's a message in here or a good horror movie in here, and it's wrapped in this like different kind of packaging. And once I'm in there, I'll enjoy it some more. So I'm really looking forward to that. Maybe. I don't know the release date. But that's a movie I'm looking forward to seeing.
All right. Well, I'm putting it on my list too. I do want to see a lot of the DC stuff that's coming out, especially now that it's looks like this might be the last of the DCEU. So, what do we have? I think we have Black Adam sometime in like October, and then Shazam Part 2, Shazam Fury of the Gods in December. So there's that. And if they ever drop the Flash movie,
I don't know. Ezra Miller is a problem.
Yeah, I feel like at this point, like, they're probably not going to reshoot it, especially with all the changes going on with Disney and, or not Disney, with Discovery buying and everything, Warner Brothers. But at the exact same time, I feel like, I don't know, I feel like it's, they're going to want to get it out there, but at the same time, it's like, they probably don't want, like, he's toxic. Ezra Miller's toxic, so they're probably, you know, they might just drop it onto HBO Max with no fanfare. That's like literally what I'm thinking.
Well, HBO Max is dead too, so Discovery.
Maybe we're gonna just merge it.
I mean, it's gonna be like Discovery something or Warner something. It's not gonna be HBO Max anymore. So, I mean, drop it right before they cancel it. I don't know. I feel like, I don't know. I honestly do think they're going to release it because, like, Warner Brothers had their, or Warner Brothers Discovery, whatever they are, had their investors thing recently. And the new president or CEO was like, and the Flash movie looks good. Like, why would he name drop the Flash movie if he's not planning on releasing it? So we'll see. It could be just the Flash can be a great movie, and we just have to separate the Flash and Ezra Miller from each other. You know, like he's not, he just plays the Flash, and this will probably be the last time he does. So.
And then speaking of Flash, they're canceling the Flash TV show, which I think obviously is part of this whole thing, because like they've been slowly killing off the Arrowverse shows over the past 2 or 3 years. Like even shows that had a lot of fanfare and fan like attention, like Legends of Tomorrow, they canceled without it. Like I think I always thought, honestly, okay, cancel it, but like give us a short season. Give us like 8 episodes to round out the story and everything. Like, don't just abruptly cancel it. But yeah, so they're doing a short season for Flash. It's ending with season 9. So it'll be actually the oldest Arrowverse show, because the Arrowverse, Arrow was only 8 seasons. But it's like, what is Grant Gustin going to do? And I was going to be, the joke that I've been telling is like, oh, he's going to go on tour with the band Better Than Ezra.
I hope they do try to transition him into the movie Flash. I feel like everyone wants it, you know? And we already know he can do a good Flash, so.
But could he do it on a big budget?
I mean, all those Netflix movies he's been doing has been training him.
Sure. I guess you could say that. I've always wanted to be an extra on a film or something. That'd be fun. You don't get much money for it. It's just more of a, just to be able to say that you did it, but still.
Maybe I can be the Flash. Nah, I don't want to be the Flash. That feels like there's a lot of working out involved in that.
Yeah. Well, I think it was Kumail Nanjiani, because you know he did that huge transformation, and he never at one point in the movie took off his shirt, which I feel like if I were him, I'd be upset. Like, really, I got this fit for nothing. But like, you know, when they asked him, like, oh, how did you do it and whatnot, it's like, yeah, being paid to do it is a big motivator. So like, yeah, like first of all, like they do. My understanding is they do give you like some of the best personal trainers or whatnot for a role, and then knowing that you're going to get like, I don't know how much they paid the actors, but let's just ballpark and say he got $10 million for it. Knowing you're going to get $10 million just to get ripped, like, I'd do that.
I mean, if it's your job, like, if that's the only thing you have to do, I feel like it's easier to get in shape. But like, having to work our normal 40-hour a week job, 40-plus-hour a week job, and then do other things, it's hard, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Kudos to all you people who do that and are like superhero shape.
Yeah, but realistically, it is that like Captain America and Thor and stuff like that is really unnatural and unhealthy, and that should not be like anybody's actual goal.
If I got to that, I would take so many pictures in that week, because I'd be like, this isn't going to be maintained. I need as many pictures as I can get. That way I can just feed them out through my social media throughout the year. Just me in different poses in different locations. Be like, I got to save these. Trickle them out.
Just be like, or like do it all in a green screen and then like put down like, oh, this is, you know, this is me in what's the word I'm looking for, like you could just put like a Christmas background or whatnot, be like, oh yeah, this was last Christmas. And well, you know who hates Hollywood is Hank Hill. I need to work on my segues a little better, but here, you know, he's not a fan of Hollywood. And he is definitely not a fan of non-Christian religion. So, and we're going to learn more about that, which, you know, kind of makes me sad. But at least he, I don't know. Well, let's talk about the episode. Let's not spoil it. We're going to talk about Won't You Pee My Neighbor, which is season 4, episode 18. PMAI being P-I-M-A-I, which is the Laotian New Year. And yeah, it pretty much revolves around this and Buddhist customs and whatnot. Let's just jump right in. So we're in the alley and Bill cold cans Dale and Dale's upset and whatnot. So I guess it's a fun way to start the episode. Khan show up and he gives out invitations to the PMAI Laotian New Year party. And Hank's like thinks it's a prank. He's like, we're not going to fall for a New Year's party in April. And Dale's like, we're not an April fool. And he's like, no, it's PMAI. Laotians, you know, celebrate the Lunar New Year. We use the lunar calendar. Big special thing. You know, come to our house. You'll see what it's like to be in a Pottery Barn catalog. And Khan leaves. And then Hank's like, well, I'm going to RSVP that I'm not going to go. And then Boomhauer and Dale agree. And then I guess Bill was so angry that he says no, but like in French, where he shows like his distaste and whatnot. So we see that everybody's in the backyard, in particular Bobby and Connie. And Bobby's like, okay, my PMAI resolution is going to be to kiss you more. And then, you know, Connie's like, oh, I got to get going. My dad, well, he thinks I'm collecting soil samples. Like, clearly, Khan does not like Bobby. That is a constant thread. And, you know, Bobby's kind of good spirits about it. He's just like, okay, you know, he'll come around, whatever. Peggy's watching them interact, and he's like, okay, we need to go to this party because Connie and Bobby are together, and, like, it's not like there's a whole line of girls looking up, wanting to date Bobby and whatnot, so we need to get in good with the parents. And Hank's like, yeah, it used to be none, so Peggy's like, oh, okay, I'm going to pretend to be Khan. And he's like, what are you doing, stupid redneck? And she's like, you sound more like men. Leave my wife out of this. It's like, ah, I wish they would move. At Khan's house, we see that they're trying on a different dress, or Min is having Connie try on different dresses and whatnot. And Connie's like, why do you have to buy this online? I hate this, which is just like in 2022, looking back on that, that's a funny statement. And they're like, oh, you know, the Wasana songs are coming, including Chang. And Connie just does not like Chang. Like, that is a very, very common thread in this whole series. Khan is happy because he realizes that Ted Wasana song is coming. And, of course, Min's happy, too, because as we've seen in previous episodes, they're trying to get in good with him so that they can get into Nine Rivers Country Club and all this other upper-class stuff and whatnot. And Khan mentions that he's bringing in some important monks. And so they're going to get shrimp, and apparently, I don't know. I don't know enough about Buddhism to know if that's, like, a good thing or a bad thing. Like, I know that a lot of monks are vegetarian, but I don't know if they're pescatarian. So that's my own ignorance, but I still laugh at the statement that he's just like, oh, let's get shrimp. So anyway, the monks think that the Lama is being reborn, or has been reincarnated, rather, in the Heimlich County area. They went to McManaberry, didn't find anything, and, you know, Ted is like, oh, there's a great chance that it's probably Chain, and, you know, Connie's like, well, why, what makes Chain so great? And Min's like, oh, you know, he's second oboist, and he's also, you know, a Westinghouse contestant, and Connie's like, I'm first violin and a Westinghouse winner, I could be the Lama. And Khan is happy, because he's like, what if my daughter's a Lama? Oh, I can finally stick it in Ted Wasanasong's face. I don't know. I find it funny because on one hand, I feel like, I don't know. So knowing Khan and Min, on one hand, I feel like maybe they're doing PMAI because they are appreciating their culture and whatnot, which is cool. But on the other hand, I also wonder if it's like just a vehicle for them to get to know what Ted Wasanasong and all the other like big players in the city or whatever who also happen to appreciate PMAI. Like, you know, far be it for me to second guess somebody's intentions, but it's just, I don't know, to me it just seems like this is not Khan being just, like, genuine. And I also like how they're like, oh, they're still trying to hook up Connie with Chain because, you know, get her to marry into a fancy family or whatever, even though we learn in the earlier episode, or earlier for us, I don't know, I can't remember off the top of my head which came first, but the episode that where they go to Nine Rivers Country Club, that they actually forbade Chain from dating Connie, likely because, probably because they think that they're lower class, but also, if I honestly were to be a guest, they probably just really don't like Khan and Min, and that's why they do it. But yeah, and then of course, just the whole Hill thing where they're like, oh, they don't want to go because clearly they just don't like Khan. But then Peggy's like, look, we have to get along with them because Connie and Bobby are dating, and it's not like Bobby has a lot of other options, so we can't spoil this for him.
I like that they understand that, like, you know what? Bobby's pickings are slim, and like, he's found someone that actually is into him and that they enjoy each other, so we got to keep this going as long as we can. And Connie is so different from her parents.
One of the things I've always appreciated about Connie in the series is that she kind of like, what's the word I'm looking for? She kind of goes beyond her parents. Like, she still, you know, kind of is under their guise and whatnot and has to do what they say in terms of studying and practicing and stuff. But she's not like, she's not as materialistic or empty-minded as they are.
This is true. Yeah, she isn't as materialistic. She does feel like if Khan and Min were like more relaxed, this is how they would be. Because we do know that they love West, like you were saying, how they're very kind of uses their, like, I don't want to say use their culture as a, like a stepping stone to something bigger. But, you know, sometimes they embrace that side to like get ahead in life. While Connie feels like she just enjoys what she enjoys. And, you know, she's just trying to relax. So I hope Bobby and Connie find a way.
Yeah. Well, I mean, with the reboot possibly coming out, maybe they will circle that and tell us what happened to them. If they ever wound up getting together or if they went different ways, who knows? I don't know which one I'm looking forward to see most, if I want to see that they actually wound up together or that they didn't wind up together, but they're both happy, but we'll see. So the Pimai party's taking place. The monks arrive. Bill splashes Hank with a glass of water to say, you know, happy Pimai. And it's like, oh, it's a Pimai tradition. And then Dale's like, oh, I'll join in. But he, instead of pouring water, he actually just pours beer on Hank. And so Hank, being mad, gets both of them in a headlock. And Khan then tries to impress the monks by saying, oh, my poor Christian neighbors, you know, there's no need to fight. The water ritual is all about cleaning off the old year and getting ready for the new year and stuff. Things you know he wouldn't say if the monks weren't there. Like, you know, he just, in real life, he has no concern or he does not care about any of that at all. But, you know, he's just trying to suck up. And, of course, Bobby comes and says that Chain is sucking up to one of the monks by giving them a to-go plate. And Bobby gives her kind of some inside information, gives Connie inside information, saying, you know, the junior monk likes oceanography, and who went to oceanography camp? Connie's like, oh, I did. And Chang. Bill finds Heineken, like, buried in the crisper of the refrigerator, and he comes out to see Khan as Khan's talking to the monks, and he's like, hey, I found this Heineken buried in your crisper. Can I drink it? And he's like, oh, that's not mine. I don't drink alcohol, but you may have it. And then Bill's like, but Min said it's mine. It's like, keep it. Khan says that, oh, Bill's the village idiot, which in this village says a lot, but Connie still reads to him. And, you know, Connie is like the llama. And then he, you know, the monk is like, we want to lay out some artifacts and do a test. And so they do the test, or they're setting up the test rather. And they set up a very ornate blanket and all these different artifacts. And Dale's like, oh, it's a yard sale. How much for that? And it's like, oh, this isn't a yard sale. This is a test. And basically, if one of these items belongs to the llama in their past life, and if they're able to identify which one it is, then that means that they're the llama reincarnated. Dale's like, oh, that sounds fun. How much to give a try? So he still doesn't realize it's like a sacred ritual. He thinks it's like a game or whatever. Connie and Chain are getting ready to go. Their parents are pumping up and stuff. Hank goes and interrupts Khan and Min. I don't think he was intentionally doing it. I think he was trying to like make good or be friendly to them on Bobby's sake. But because he's distracting them, Chain gets an opportunity to go first. And so Bobby kind of freaks out and he's like, oh no, I got to help Connie. So he's like, okay, let me stall him. So he picks up a cane and he does like kind of a ragtime dance or whatever. All of a sudden the monks all bow down and whatnot because he picked the right artifact. After the break, you know, they think he is the llama and he's like, oh no, I'm not the llama. I'm just the warm-up act. Here, Connie, here's your cane. And, you know, Hank's not happy. He's like, you know, I can't stop you from doing what you do in the airports, but you can't do this in my neighborhood, which is, I don't know. I mean, that's to me is very Texan. Like anything not Christian is somehow threatening or not real or whatever. I guess that's a very small town Texas thing. Connie is upset that Bobby is just so flippant about this. Like, hey, you're just joking. You're joking about my religion. Like, I take this seriously. With all the fighting that is going on, the monks decide, okay, well, we need to go find, like, our head monk so that he can do a proper test next week. Let's leave one of the junior monks behind. And they stay with Khan because they're like, oh, we have a great Buddhist resident here that can take you in. And Khan, like, reluctantly agrees. Obviously, he's not thrilled because I guess now he needs to just keep up appearances, but the whole Connie becoming the llama thing has gone out the door. And then, of course, we go to the bedroom. Peggy is happy because she's like, oh, wow, Bobby's a llama. I never saw that. And Hank's coming. And Hank's like, oh, I can't believe they think Bobby's a spiritual leader. That's just sad. And then Peggy is like, hey, look, according to this, Richard Gere is a Buddhist. And Hank's like, oh, this just keeps getting sadder. I think there might be people here who watch Avatar The Last Airbender and might think that that ritual sounds familiar. And actually, yeah, Avatar is known for like borrowing heavily or being inspired heavily by Asian cultures. And quite frankly, it might be one of the best Western media in terms of adapting Asian culture. But like that is, to my understanding, in the Tibetan Buddhist I guess religion or sect or practice, whatever term you want to use, is how they determine a llama. Though I think they do multiple artifacts, like, you know, they'll put out a whole bunch of them and they'll tell you to choose four, and if you happen to choose the four right ones, then you're the reincarnated one. It's not like, oh, choose one, because I feel like anybody can luck out and choose the right one.
I wonder if there's an online version so I could try my luck out.
I don't know. I doubt it. I mean, I think they would have to be I bet there's like fake ones online, but I think the real ones you'd probably actually have to like go to a monk.
Do you have to be a Buddhist to be the Dalai Lama?
I don't know, to be honest. Like, I feel like if Ye discovered, like, I think anybody could be the Dalai Lama, like, or be one of the Lamas. Like, you don't necessarily have to be reincarnated into a Buddhist, but I think the expectation is that you do become a Buddhist if they decide that you are one.
Huh, interesting.
Again, not an expert. I have a very basic working knowledge of Buddhism, so do not take anything I say as canon. But that is my understanding. And I think it's just like the reality of Bobby growing up where he grew up. He kind of takes it all in jest and in joke. Like, I don't think he realized. I think he thinks like it's a cultural thing, and he understands that it's important to Connie, but he doesn't understand like how important this is to her in general, like the religious, the her religion and her faith and stuff. And so he does act a little bit flippantly towards it, and like, I'm not the guy you want and everything, and oh, you guys are wrong and stuff. And she's like, don't make fun of my religion. And yeah, of course, Hank is Hank, and he's just super angry about everything. And I guess he was fine when they were just hanging around, but when they were influencing Bobby and telling Bobby that he's a great spiritual leader and blah, blah, blah. And he has some of the character traits of that llama and whatnot. Like, that really got to Hank. It's like, oh, you're trying to indoctrinate my kid. So I don't know, like, correct me if I'm wrong, you probably grew up with knowing more Buddhist or ex-Buddhist than I've ever known.
Well, my mom was a former Buddhist, but I don't know. I guess most of my Buddhist knowledge comes from what I learned in history class and then what I see on TV. But I do think it's interesting that, I don't know, It is kind of weird because Bobby just jumps in. It's not like they force it upon him, but when he does pick the right item, I don't know. But then again, it's Bobby's decision what to do, right?
Yes, but I think the thing is, like, he can choose not to do the, like, I think the way they think of it is, like, it's not really a choice. Like, if you're the reincarnated llama, you're the reincarnated llama. Like, that is your fate and your destiny to do that. So, like, even if he doesn't want to do it, he's kind of got to do it because, you know, it's not like, oh, well, we'll just find another reincarnated llama. It's like, no, until Bobby dies, he's that person.
Do they find him when they're that young?
They can. Again, I'm not a Buddhist expert, but my understanding is, like, there's two llamas. There's a Dalai Lama, and then there's another llama. Because basically, that's more in Tibetan Buddhism, not in all branches of Buddhism. But, like, obviously there's a cycle that goes through. Like, if a Dalai Lama dies and is reincarnated, you can't wait until that, you know, you can't just not have a spiritual leader for 20 years until that person grows up. So, like, when the previous Lama dies, they get reincarnated, and then the Dalai Lama takes over, and then when Dalai Lama dies, that previous Lama takes over, and they kind of switch roles kind of thing.
Huh.
It's an interesting idea, and it's only my understanding, and, like, I think Buddhism is probably like any other religion, where you know, there's Christianity, but then when you start subdividing it, there's Mormonism, Catholicism, Protestantism. You even go to Protestantism, you start going to Baptist, Methodist, et cetera, et cetera. Like, there's Buddhism, and, like, all Buddhists have, like, some same basic tenets, but as you start going to different countries or different regions, there's different sects of Buddhism. So you'll have, like, Tibetan Buddhism, which is what has the Dalai Lama, if I'm not mistaken. But then you have, like, Zen Buddhism in Japan and Thai Buddhism and et cetera, et cetera. So it's not the exact, like, I don't think the Dalai Lama, and I could be wrong, but I don't think, like, they're the leader of all Buddhism, just like the Tibetan Buddhist school, which I think is also a really large school. Don't get me wrong. I don't think it's, like, you know, three people or like 300 people. I don't have an exact number, but I do think it's a large school of Buddhism. And again, I'm sure there's somebody who's listening and is thinking, like, you're getting this all wrong. And if I am getting it wrong, I'm sorry. But this is definitely the general idea that I've seen. Okay. So let's see what's going on in the Hill Place. Bobby takes Connie to the student union. I'm guessing it's at a college campus, so we do know that there's a community college in the area, because there's, like, no indication that the middle school has a student union. But Connie's like, so you brought me to the student union just to get ice cream? And he's like, oh, no, that was just an unexpected detour. I brought you to take this. And there's, like, the campus Buddhist club. And they're all, like, really in on it, like, because the students are really, like, enjoying the Buddhism, and they're there to learn, and they're there to practice. And Connie is happy because, like, this is legit. She's like, oh, my parents never take me to anything like this. So it's, like, it's hinting that they're kind of semi-Buddhist. Like, at least that's the hint that's there, is, like, they're Buddhist, but they're not practicing, but they become Buddhist when they're, like, around other Buddhists. So that way they can be like, hey, look, we're one and the same. And yeah, you should let me in, fellow Buddhist or whatever. Like, that's kind of the hint we're getting. Bobby's now hanging out with, like, one of the junior monks as he's washing the van. And he's like, hey, I'm concerned. Like, is it wrong that I was thinking about bald jokes during the meditation? And, you know, the monk's like, oh, no, the llama was known for being super funny. And he's, you know, he even used to wear his begging bowl as a hat and, you know, things like that. Bobby's like, oh, I used to do that with my cereal bowl. And, you know, he's like, oh, if you really want to learn Buddhism, I can give you this book. And he gives him, like, this thick book. And Bobby's like, huh, no pictures. And then so he reaches back into the van and gives him a Buddhism for Dummies book. We then go to the alley. And Dale has his finger in Bill's beer can. Because I guess Bill dared him to do that. That's what he says, but I'm like, I'm still trying to figure out like the circumstances where that happened. But Bobby uses his Buddhist belief to say, look, you guys still, you two want the same thing. So why don't you just envision the thing coming off of your finger? And, you know, Dale's like, that's the stupidest thing ever. And then, of course, it slips right off of his finger and he's amazed. And, you know, Connie's like, Chain could have never pulled that off. And Bobby's like, ah, Chain's a good guy. Inside, Hank is getting ready, presumably to play baseball or to catch with Bobby or something, because he's got his glove and he's throwing and he's singing Take Me Back to the Ball Game. But I think he got it wrong, because I don't know if you noticed, he, instead of saying buy me some peanuts and Cracker Jacks, he says buy me some crackers and Apple Jacks, but whatever. I don't know, maybe that's the way he learned it and we all learned the wrong one. He walks inside and Bobby's got candles around him and he's meditating and he has like a third eye painted on into his forehead, and Hank's just freaking out. It's like, God dang way and whatnot. He takes him into the bathroom and washes the stuff off his head, and he's like, you know, this is a Christian household. Why do you think we go to church? And then Bobby's like, yeah, I've been meaning to ask that. Why do we? He's like, because we're Methodists. What is Methodism? And then it's just a pause and it like cuts over to the church where they're with the reverend. It's like, Methodism is a rejection of Calvinism. And then Hank's like, oh, see, there you go. You can't be a llama. And then the pastor's like, oh, you're the boy. Congratulations. And then Hank's like, wait, I thought we were on the same side. Bobby, do you love Jesus? He's like, with all my heart. Buddhist liar is what Hank says in return. The pastor is a little like, I can't say that I have all the answers, but if this can help him connect to his spirituality, I don't see the problem. And Hank's like, oh, okay, fine, whatever. And he's like, he bounces and I'll see you on Sunday. And the pastor's like, oh, we have a homeless prayer service on Saturday if you want to join. And he's like, I'll mention it to the missus. They're at a playground now, Bobby and Connie, and he's just kind of waxing poetic or doing meditations. And, you know, he's telling Connie, what are you listening for? What do you hear? He's like, oh, I hear my parents' empty-headedness and their materialism. And Bobby's like, oh, you know, let that go. You know, your parents don't like me. Yeah, that's fine. They'll eventually come around. All I hear now is the sound of us. So I don't know. I do kind of like, you rarely see Bobby really get into anything, like anything that's not something he's already into. Like when he was, I guess maybe a few times you see that, but like generally speaking, he's into entertainment. So anything that's entertainment related, he's automatically like, I'm here for it. It's all, I want to do it. It's all I'm going to think about. But like, he doesn't really, up to this point, we don't really see him care all that much about, I mean, forget about his own religion, like just religion in general, but he seems to like really be soaking this all in. I mean, granted, I think a lot of it's because they told him he was a llama, and I guess he's like trying to milk that or whatever, but I don't know. It's kind of nice to see this side of Bobby in a way.
I do think he's doing this because it's important to Connie, and he's made it important to himself, because Connie takes us with such like respect. So it's made him kind of look more into it and see more into it for himself, is what I'm thinking.
Yeah, maybe. I think that might be it. I don't know. Yes, I will agree with you that I think it's because it's important to Connie that he's doing it. And I think maybe he is trying to do like a vast overcorrection because of how flippant he was on it originally and how much it upset Connie. But either way, it's still nice to see him just doing this.
Yeah, I like how he's taking it seriously, how he's very like adapting this kind of new lifestyle and changing it. But it doesn't seem like, it seems like how Bobby would do it, if that makes sense. It doesn't feel so great out of the blue. It's not like I've seen other episodes where Bobby switches into like a different kind of person-ish. This feels like a natural progression of Bobby finding more inner peace.
Yep. Yeah, I guess that's it. I guess he's like really probably enjoying it. Like, I probably at first he did it just to like help Connie, but then when he got the book, I think he like really started to dive into it, and he's starting to like it. And I think he also probably likes the idea of him being a llama at this point. There's a quick scene with Peggy that I really like where, you know, she pulls up to a car or pulls behind a car at the stoplight and it has like, oh, my kid's an honor student at elementary school. And so Peggy pulls over and gets right next to him and yells at the woman like, yeah, well, my son is God to billions of Asians. And then she just peels out. So orchestra's over at school and Chain comes up and he's like, hey, Connie, I noticed you were looking at me. And Connie's like, oh, well, it's because I kept hearing a lot of flats and I assumed it was you. And, you know, he takes offense to that. And Bobby in his kind of llama Buddhist takes like, calm down, guys. There's no reason to fight. If you, you know, if you make sharps and he makes flats, you'll make beautiful music together. And Chain's like, that makes no sense. And then Connie's like, oh, you're just angry because you're not the llama. And he's like, I'm glad I'm not the llama. The Chain train stops for the ladies. And Bobby's like, what do you mean? He's like, llamas can't have wives. They can't even have girlfriends. And then he walks away and Connie's like, is that true? And he's like, no, no, it can't be. I mean, how would they get more llamas? Oh, reincarnation. So they go to the Get In, Get Out, which is like the, you know, 7-Eleven in universe. They're drinking like their Slurpee, icy, whatever you want to call it. And Bobby says, I got it. I'll leave the Buddha hood. And Connie's like, well, one, I won't let you. But then two, like, you can't just leave it. If you are the reincarnated llama, you are the reincarnated llama. This isn't something you can just quit. And he's like, all right, I'll tank the test. I'll choose a mirror. Who owns a mirror? And then she's like, but what if it is a mirror? He's like, all right, I'll choose a cane. They won't make it a cane again. And it's like, no, you can't fake it. If you fail the test, but you really are the llama, then I'll be disrespecting the Buddha every day. We go to the alley, and the monk is kind of standing in the alley. Hank's not there, but Boomhauer, Bill, and Dale are. And Bill's like, how long have you been celibate? And the monk's like, 3 years. And Bill's like, the fourth year is the tough one. Hank gets mad at the guy, and he's like, I want you to leave with all this garbage that you're teaching my son. And you know, the monk gives him like a little talk about, you know, as the wheel follows the ox, wind can't overturn a mountain. He's like, that's nonsense. You're talking like a Lion King. This makes no sense at all, or doesn't make perfect sense, the monk retorts. And then he's like, I'm going to kick your ass. And then the monk's like, if my ass is going to be kicked, then it will be kicked. And then I guess Hank just like frustrated just leaves. We go to the Khan's house. And they are cheering the celibacy of monks. Clearly, they're happy to learn that Bobby, if he is indeed the llama, he cannot be with Connie anymore. So they're happy about that. But you can hear that you could see that that monk was just not thrilled to hear them say that. Like, he's like, oh gosh, don't remind me. Connie is obviously not happy because she wants to be with Bobby. And you know, Khan's like, oh, don't be upset. You just dodged a chubby white bullet. In his bedroom, Bobby is meditating to get answers from the llama Sunglug. And he's like, oh, well, you know, what should I do? He's like, wait, I'm Sunglug. So then he like looks into his shirt. He's like, what should we do? Because I can't fake the test. And then Hank's like kind of in like the ghosty voice. It's like, this is the llama Sunglug. I am the llama. You are not. Quit with this Buddhist hooey. And of course, you know, Bobby's not dumb. He knows it's Hank. So he opens the door and he sees Hank just standing right outside. And he's like, you know, Hank doesn't want him to take the test, and Bobby's like, well, I have to. And he's like, well, what do they got on you? And he's like, if I don't do the test, Connie will dump me. And Hank's like, well, we can't have that happen. And Bobby's like, I don't know what to do. And Hank's like, it'll be all right. Hank goes to his bedroom, and he prays. It's funny because he, like, has to let God know that he's a Methodist. He's like, God, Hank Hill here, Methodist. And he's like, you know, sorry that I missed the homeless service, and you know, I just want to ask, can you help Bobby fail this test like you've helped him fail so many others? And then, you know, he hears a toilet flush, Peggy coming back. So I guess he doesn't want Peggy to know that he's praying. And he's like, thank you, God. Oh, and take care of the homeless children and everything. Amen. Next day comes by. Everybody is around getting ready for the test. As Bobby walks out of the house, Khan shows him a statue of Buddha, which, fun fact, that is not a statue of Buddha. That is a statue of Bodhi, which is a, I think, like a Buddha, like a Buddha incarnation or something that's used in China, but it's not the actual Buddha. Skinny Buddha is the right Buddha. But okay, they're but beside the point, he's like, hey, look, separated at birth. And then Dale's like, if Bobby gets it right, he gets all the items. And then Bill's like, what happens if he gets it wrong? He gets a snap capler. It can snap all caps on all bottles and whatnot. Bobby goes to take the choice. The head monk puts out all the items. Bobby walks up to a mirror and he sees Connie's reflection in the mirror. And he's like, hey, can I choose anything on this sheet? And the head monk's like, yes. And then Bobby's like, I choose Connie. And then Khan's upset, like, oh, no, he cheated. And he's like, there is no cheating. The choice was made. The test is over. And then Peggy's like, do you think I should take the test? And the monk's like, no. As they walk away, one of the junior monks is like, but the mirror was Songlug's. And then he's like, yeah, tough call, but I made it. And, you know, so he's just like, I guess technically the Bobby was, you know, I guess it's it leaves it up for interpretation. Is Bobby actually the llama or whatnot? Because it seemed like he was going for the mirror until he noticed Connie and he chose Connie. But, you know, whatever. I guess if the monks say that he's not, then he's not. And that's how the episode ends. So any thoughts that stand out to you where we leave off?
I love this episode. I love the ending a lot. I always, when I think about this episode, I always think about the ending where Bobby sees Connie in the mirror. And then the monk being like, well, that was the item. I like that little twist at the end, but it is kind of interesting to think about, like, what if Bobby is the Dalai Lama?
I guess we'll never really know, but it is kind of a fun thought to think about, like, was he or was he not? But at the same time, I guess maybe, I mean, I guess theoretically this, what's his name? This other guy, the head monk, I guess he has better training or better ideas or whatever, and he probably has a better way of saying, no, it has to be the actual mirror that he chooses, not something he sees in the mirror. I don't know. That's going to be my headcanon. Like, the monk is well-versed in what they're looking for.
Yeah, I do think it's just... I feel like there is, like, a judgment call in that. Like you were saying, you could just pick an item and it'd be the right item, but I feel like they know more.
Yeah, again, I am by no means a Buddhist expert, and I should not be treated as a Buddhist expert by any means, but that's, my guess is, like, you know, like how you have, like, head pastors who supposedly understand the Bible more than, like, junior pastors or whatever. Like, I'm guessing there's, like, some kind of hierarchy within the Buddhahood, and, like, somebody, okay, this person is well more versed in the religion and can make these calls.
Yeah, I guess Bobby isn't the Lama, but it is cool to see, like, him broaden his horizons a little bit.
Yeah, well, the heartwarming end is also the great thing, like you mentioned. Like, the fact that he was going for the mirror, and had he actually chosen the mirror, they would have said, oh, yeah, you're a Songlug and whatnot, and that would have been it. Like, not his life would have been over, but... You know, he definitely couldn't date Connie anymore. Like, even if he doesn't believe in Buddhism and nobody else believes in Buddhism, Connie does. And so Connie's not going to go against her religion. But, you know, he sees her and he's like, oh, I'm going to choose her. So that was, he found a loophole that worked for him. But then it was also, like, very poignant. He was just like, I choose Connie over being this spiritual leader. But yeah, I like the episode. I like how angry Hank gets because just, I don't know, it's very typical. I mean, even my own, like, life growing up, and I did not grow up in small town Texas. I've been to small town Texas. I've been to small towns in the Midwest because I have family there. But I've never lived in small town Texas, but even in, like, my city. So yeah, I know growing up in, like, the city in Texas, like, or at least in my enclave or whatever, there are a lot of people who thought, like, oh, Buddhists are essentially Satanist or whatever. And so I know that definitely exists. But it's also just nice to, I don't know. I guess it's nice that Hank wasn't as bad as he could have been. But still, like, trying to kick somebody out of his neighborhood because they have a different religion. Though I don't think it had anything to do with a different religion as much as it was that they were converting Bobby. Like, I think if they were just, if they were in the neighborhood and didn't influence Bobby, let's put it that way. Like, if he influenced other kids, I doubt they would have cared much. But, yeah.
Yeah, it's true. It is because Bobby got involved. Because Hank really just kind of stays out of other people's business.
Yeah, we never, aside from this episode, and I could be wrong, but I don't think we see him, like, attack other religions all that often in the series. I don't think we've seen him do that much. I don't know. Either way, it's nice. Obviously, there'll be absolutely no callbacks to this in future episodes. Like, hey, remember the time that you were almost a llama or whatever? But it is nice to see, you know, I don't know. I don't know if I would call that a mature choice or not, because, let's be honest, except for a very, very small percentage of people, you're not going to marry your middle school girlfriend. But they did. We don't know. But just the fact that I guess he was like, you know what, I choose to be with Connie instead of having to, you know, take this test or try to fail this test. Because I also think that was genuine, because, you know, he was talking about finding a way to fail the test, but he knew if he purposely failed it, then there would be a lingering, oh, are you really in the song lug kind of thing. So, overall, I think it was a very sweet episode. Definitely one of my favorites, like I said, like you said. I do watch this a lot. Like, I have watched this one. Honestly, I probably didn't even have to rewatch it, because I probably have so many of the lines and the memories just etched into my brain. But it's a very nice one. And the next one we're going to talk about is Pour Some Sugar on Khan. Before we jump off, anything else, Jimmy?
No, just a great episode. I recommend it. Even though we talked all about it, still deserves a watch.
Absolutely. And we'll be talking, as you can guess from the title, we'll be talking about Khan next time. So until then, I'm Jason.
And I'm Jimmy.
Bye.
Bye.